say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For every week you was in church. Every week you paid your tithe. Every week you did this, you did that. No, that's not what he said at all. As important as those things are, he said, for I was on hunger, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger or naked? When did we see you in prison and visit you? And the king will say to them assuredly, I say to you and you and you and me, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then the sad reality is, folks, that there will be many, and don't forget, these are all Christians. We're not talking about Christian sheep and pagan goats. We're talking about Christians, period. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, and as much as you have done it to one of the least that made my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then he will also say to them on his left, to the goats, depart from me. What sad words. Why? Because you wasn't in church? Because you didn't pay your offerings? You didn't do tithe? You didn't? No. He will say, depart from me to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and you did not visit me. Then they will also ask him the question, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Verse 45. Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it unto the least of these, you did it not to me. Yes, the sad reality is that those people were Christians too. The difference was those who fed the hungry because of their love for Jesus were so different in those who fed the hungry because of duty. May God bless each of us. In the weeks and the months ahead, every day, as we see the need arising within our communities. I'd like for us to pray now, and especially we'll pray especially for our country, our province especially, our towns, and that each of us will have a heart filled with love for Jesus. And if a heart is filled with love for Jesus, where can it go but to others? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning on bended knees. First of all, we want to thank you for the beautiful life that you've given us, for a beautiful province in which we can live, for a beautiful country that we are part of. We thank you that day by day our tables are laden with food that you have so bountifully bestowed upon us. We thank you for churches that we can visit in, and visit you in, to come to visit with you and to talk to you and to listen to you. We thank you for the word of God that is so precious to each of us. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in the country that we live in. And Father, as we look into the future, we look with hope, knowing that you will come someday to take your people home. We long for the day when the suffering and the sorrows of this life will be over, and we can be with Jesus forevermore. So our hearts go today to those who we know, children, who will be in need,
mothers maybe won't know what to put on the table for their children. Fathers who will be desperate looking for work. We ask your blessing upon them today. May they find peace in knowing you as their Savior. And each of us with open hearts be ready to respond to whatever the need might be. We pray this not that we are worthy, but because Christ has paid the price for us on Calvary's tree. In his name we pray. Amen.
As I said, at the onset, that I've gone through some things from Father's books. I found three poems that I want to read for you today. And the first poem that I want to read is entitled Victorious Living. Are we walking with God, our pattern divine, following closely, one step at a time, grasping the fate to which to live with love and tenderness he only can give? We can gain a holier quality of mind by being loving, patient, and kind, and ever remember what he has done by giving us Jesus, his only Son. We of little faith should do much more, for God has some wonderful things in store. All those who walk with him hand in hand will have a home in the promised land. When we open our hearts with keys of giving, that leads to the way of victorious living. Walk with God, our pattern divine, following closely, one step at a time. This is an interesting little poem, and you may chuckle a little bit at it too. Where should I work? Where should I work? Where should you work? Master, where shall I work today? And my love flowed warm and free. Then he pointed out a tiny plot, and he said, work there for me. But I answered quickly, oh no, not there. Not anyone could see, no matter how well my task is done. Nah, that little spot is not for me. And his voice, when he spoke, it was not stern. And he answered me tenderly, disciple, search that heart of thine. Are you working for them or for me? Nazareth was just the little place, and so was Galilee. For us. And this one is entitled, you may have read it or heard it before. I think I've heard it, but it seems like it was in a little different version, a little different wording. And this one is called The Other Fellow's Shoes. Pray, don't find fault with the man who limps or stumbles along the road until you worn the shoes he wears or struggled beneath his load. There may be taxing his shoes that hurt, though hidden away from view, or burdens he bears placed on your back might cause you to stumble too. Don't snare the man who is down today, unless you have felt the blow that caused his fall, or felt the shame that only the fallen know. You may be strong, but still, the blow that was his, if dealt to you in the self-same way, at the self-same time, might cause you to stagger too. Don't be too harsh with the man who sins, or pelt him with stones or words, unless you are sure, yes, doubly sure, that you have not sins of your own. For you know, perhaps if the tempter's voice should be whispered as soft to you as it did to him, when he went astray, to cause you to falter too. How true. How many of you need a sandpiper to bring you joy? Let's read the story and then we'll see how many of you need a sandpiper to bring you joy. She was 6 years old when I first met her on the beach near where I lived. I drove to this beach a distance of 3 or 4 miles, whenever the world began to close in on me. She was building a sandcastle or something and looked up her eyes as blue as the sea. Hello, she said. I answer with a nod, not really in the mood to bother with a small child. I'm building, she said. I see that. What is it? I asked, not caring. Oh, I don't know. I just like the feel of the sand. That sounds good, I thought, and slipped off my shoes. A sandpiper glided by. That's a joy, the child said. It's what? It's a joy. My mama says sandpipers comes to bring us joy. The bird went glittering down the beach. Good boy, joy, I muttered to myself, hello, pain, and turned to walk on. I was depressed. My life seemed completely out of balance. What's your name? She wouldn't give up. Ruth, I answered. I'm Ruth Peterson. Mine's Wendy, or at least it sounds like Wednesday, Wendy, and I'm 6. Hi, Wendy. She giggled. You're funny, she said. In spite of my gloom, I laughed too and walked on. A musical giggle followed me. Come again, Mrs. P, she called. We'll have another happy day. The days and the weeks followed. Belonged to someone else, a group of unruly Boy Scouts, the PTA meeting, and an alien mother. The sun was shining one morning as I tucked my hands out of the dishwasher. I need a sandpiper, I said to myself, gathering up the coat. The never-changing balm of seashore awaited me. The breeze was chilly, but I strode along trying to recapture the serenity I needed. I had forgotten the child and was startled when she appeared. Hello, Mrs. P, she said. Do you want to play? Well, what did you have in your mind? I asked with a twinge of annoyance. I don't know, you say. How about charades? I asked sarcastically. The twinkling laughter burst forth again. I don't know what that is. Then let's just walk. Looking at her, I noticed the delicate fairness of her face. Where do you live? I asked. Over there. She pointed to a row of summer cottages. Strange, I thought. In winter? Where do you go to school? I don't go to school. Mama says we're on vacation. She chattered little girl talked as we strolled to the beach, but my mind was on other things. When I left for home, Wendy said it had been a happy day. Feeling surprisingly bitter, I smiled at her and agreed. 3 weeks passed. I rushed to my beach in a state of near panic. I was in no mood even to greet Wendy. I thought I saw her mother on the porch and felt like demanding she keep her child at home. Lucky if you don't mind, I said crossly when Wendy caught up with me. I'd rather be alone today. She seemed unusually pale and out of breath. Why? She asked. I turned on her and shouted, because my mother died. Oh, she said quietly. Then this is a bad day. Yes, and yesterday, and the day before that. And, oh, go away. Did it hurt? Did what hurt? I was exasperated with her, myself, when she died. Of course it hurt. I snapped, misunderstandingly wrapped up in myself, I strode off. A month or so after that, when I next went to the beach, forgive me if I lose it somewhere along the rest of the line, she wasn't there. Feeling guilty, ashamed, and admit to myself I missed her. I went up to the cottage after my walk and knocked on the door. A drawn-looking young woman with honey-colored hair opened the door. Hello, hello, I said. I'm Ruth Peterson. I missed your little girl today and wondered where she was. Oh, yes, Mrs. Peterson, please come in. Wendy talked of you so much. I'm afraid I allowed her to bother you. If she was a nuisance, please accept my apologies. Not at all. She's a delightful child, I said. Suddenly realized that I meant it. Where is she? Oh, Winnie died last week. Mrs. Peterson, she had leukemia. Maybe she didn't tell you. Struck dumb, I groped for a chair, my breath caught. She loved this beach. So when she asked to come, we couldn't say no. She seemed so much better here and had a lot of what she called happy days. But the last few weeks, she declined rapidly. Her voice faltered. She left something for you. If only I can find it. Could you wait a moment while I look? I nodded stupidly. My mind raced for something, anything to say to this lovely young woman. She handed me a smeared envelope with Mrs. P. printed in bold, childish letters. Inside was a drawing in bright crayon hues of yellow, a yellow beach, a blue sky, and a brown bird. Underneath was carefully printed, you guessed it, a sandpiper to bring your joy. Tears welled up in my eyes, and a heart that I almost forgotten, out of love, opened wide. I took Cindy's mother in my arms. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I moved over and over, and we wept together. This little picture is framed now and hangs in my studio. Six words, a sandpiper to bring you joy, one for each year of her life. Speaks to me of inner courage, harmony, and understanding love. A gift for a child with blue eyes and hair the color of sand, who taught me the gift of love. These we forget, folks. There may be people in your circle of friends. There may be people in this very church. There may be people in your very family who needs a sandpiper to bring them joy. May God bless us. When first the Seventh-day Adventist movement came into existence back in the 1850s, we'd come out of a great disappointment of 1844, and there were many Adventists, which means, of course, they believed in the Second Advent, but they weren't Seventh-day Adventists. But when the church was formed, among them was one called Uriah Smith. Now, Uriah Smith had a brilliant mind, and he was an ardent student of the Bible. I mean, unbelievable, really. When you read his books, he wrote one entitled Daniel and Revelation, and they go through the prophecies of the end time prophecies. It was an incredible, incredible mind. He was 21 years old when he wrote this song that I'm going to repeat to you. Now, we're not going to sing it. I'm just going to. And he had a sister called Anna, and she also wrote. And when you look at their songs, Anna wrote Out Far From Home. See what her mind was? I Saw One Weary. And this one, I'm going to tell you the title, but I'm going to have to change it because otherwise I'm going to get my hand slapped or my hair slipped because it says, Oh Brother, Faithful. So I'm going to change the name to Christian. You mind? Listen to the words, because it tells of a man whose heart is right with God. And his longing, what do we call it? In the Adventist church, we call it the blessed hope. You call it that in the United Church too? The blessed hope. The blessed hope is what? The second coming. And this is what these people were all into. O Christian, be faithful. Soon Jesus will come. For whom we have waited so long. 160 years ago, he wrote that. Oh, soon we shall enter our glorious home and join in the conqueror's song. Oh, Christian, be faithful, for why should we prove unfaithful to him who has shown such deep, such unbounding and infinite love, who died to redeem us his own. Oh, brother, be faithful. The city of gold, prepared for the good and the blessed, is waiting its portals of pearls to unfold and welcome thee into thy rest. Then, brother, prove faithful. Not long will we stay in weariness here and for long. Time's dark night of sorrow is wearing away. We haste to the glorious morn. O sister, be faithful. He soon will descend, creation's omnipotent king, while legions of angels his chariots of fin attend and palm wreaths of victory bring. O sister, be faithful, and soon thou shalt hear the Savior pronounce the glad word. Well done, faithful servant, thy title is clear to enter the joy of thy Lord. O Christian, be faithful. Eternity's years shall tell for the faithful now, with bright smiles of gladness shall scatter thy tears and coronets gleam on thy brow. O Christian, be faithful. The promise is sure that waits for the faithful and true to reign in the ransom immortal and pure and ever with Jesus abide. Isn't that beautiful? That's not in your book, is it? This is an old Advent hymn. We sang it lots back in the old days. Don't sing it much anymore. But it sure had a message. And you know, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, and you're tired of me saying it, but every hymn is a sermon. That's why I can do it, because I'm not a preacher, but I can use the sermons to get the message across. So, sister, brother, Christian, be faithful.